has some accuracy issues. He has some of the best receivers in college football, too, though. Or in the NFL, which is nice.
Yeah, you get Jamar Chase, T. Higgins.
Yeah. Tyler Boyd. I mean, when they have Joe Mixon, though, that offense is real nice. CJ Uzuma.
He's the best one of the group.
It's true. He had those two catches against the Ravens. Those are massive. Huge percentage of his yards.
Mike, I'm hearing music come through my headphones.
Same.
No, it's all right. I was just curious if that was supposed to happen. I don't know what is. It's all good, boss. I don't know what is supposed to happen and what is not.
Same. We've only been doing the show all year. There you go. Hey guys, welcome into another edition of our college football prize picks. Today we have the championship weekend bets for Saturday's main slate and all the things considered. I'm here with Matt, who is one of the best minds in the business. And if you haven't heard about prize picks before, you should be downloading the app and use code AWESOMO. We'll give you $100 match on your first deposit. That is for new users only. If you don't know what prize picks is, it's basically a site where you can pick 5 player prop bets. You pick the over or under. If you hit all 5, you 10x on your money. You get 4, you get 2x, 3 of them, you get 40% of your money. So you're not losing quite everything. But again, it's one of the better businesses out there, one of the best prop sites. You can get a ton of college football, and they've opened the door for multiple players on some of these teams this weekend. But anyways, let's get into it. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm excited for conference championships. I feel like this is what we work for, man. And I know they're going to have coverage for bowl season too, which I'm super pumped for. But we get a little bit of a break after this week, so I'm trying to cherish the action.
Yeah, I know. I mean, this bowl season will be an interesting one. There's rumors about the Gasparilla Bowl being UCF versus UF, which I might take my drinking up there and go watch some UCF-UF football with Mikey Keene and hopefully Anthony Richardson. It won't be a good time, but hey, it'll be a fun one.
Yeah, I'm sorry for you. I saw Dylan Gabriel visited Ole Miss today. Ugh. Gus Malzahn already causing the mass exodus of the former Josh Heupel era recruits. I'm sorry.
Hey, it happens to the best of us, but let's get into some props today. You got Jaylen Warren over 86.5 rushing yards. I was actually surprised to see his prop so low. I must have missed it when I first scrolled through.
I was surprised to see both of these backs low. I don't have Abram as like a preferred play on this, but I also think he's a strong play. He just has seen a different workload compared to what he saw in the beginning of the year. And in their first game, he carried the ball 9 times for over 100 yards. So I think Abram Smith is also in play. But Jaylen Warren just has one of the best workloads in college football. He had a 4-game span kind of at the midpoint of the year where he touched the ball over 30 times in each of those contests. And then they went into a little lull in the schedule, played Kansas. Obviously, you don't need to really put your foot on the gas against Kansas. He was banged up in their second most recent game. So the touches look like they dropped, but I do believe there's a reason for all of those drops. And then last week, Jaylen Warren, 18 carries. The only other back that carried the ball was Dominic Richardson, and he just one touch. So Jaylen Warren out-touched, at least in the carry department, he out-touched Dominic Richardson 18-1, which suggests to me in favorable game script, Jaylen Warren could go right back to some of those 30 carry games you saw earlier in the year if Oklahoma State is playing with any sort of positive game script. And right now the spread is 5.5 points in favor of the Cowboys. So if this plays to the spread, you should see a ton of volume for Warren. It's just too low. I know Baylor's run defense is good, but if Warren sees over 20 carries, he's going to backdoor his way over 86.5 rushing yards.
And again, you mentioned that it's like conference championship weekend. Usually just stick with your best players at this point in the year. Not that every week you shouldn't get the ball to your best players, but it feels like you're going to be riding some of these guys. And looking at Baylor and Oklahoma State, both of these teams like to run the football. They prefer to run the football. So it's definitely going to be a matchup where I could see Warren getting in the 30 carry mark as well.
I think he could get there. And even if he doesn't, like if he gets 20 carries and he's somewhat efficient, he's going to hit this. So I think there's multiple avenues to him hitting it. He could be more efficient than we expect, or he could just have that voluminous workload, which gets him there too. And they should be playing from ahead. I talked about Abram Smith a little bit, and maybe we can talk about him in depth later, but that team is a little more likely to play from behind, which is why he concerns me more than Warren. And that's why I'm more comfortable putting my money on the Oklahoma State side with Jaylen Warren.
Yeah, of course. But getting into the next pick of the day, you know, I'm an Alabama fan, but Stetson Bennett's over for 196 and a half passing yards. It's just way too low of a number for a starting quarterback. Georgia's 6.5 point favorites. The over-under is 49 and a half. Alabama is giving up 7 yards per passing attempt, while it's 2.4 yards per rushing attempt. Bennett has thrown for over 200 yards in 3 of the last 4 games. And in the one game he didn't, they blew the team out. Last year against Bama, Bennett was the starting quarterback. He threw for 270 yards. The only concern that this matchup has is if he throws interceptions early on, JT Daniels is still there and he could easily take over for him, but he has been really efficient this year. He's thrown only 5 interceptions on 183 passing attempts. Bennett over 196 half passing yards is just way too low of a line for me.
This is one I had circled too. Georgia just hasn't been in competitive games this year. They haven't needed to use Bennett. And to your point, he's been incredibly efficient, even more efficient than what we saw to Daniels last year. He's more mobile. So I think he does offer like an upgraded skill set from Daniels at this point. And then Georgia's just getting healthier at the right time. George Pickens returned last week. Dominic Blaylock returned last week. I don't think either of them are going to play a full snap share, but just having those two elite weapons, even in a rotation role, is a boost to the offense. So their offense is getting healthy at the right time. And you could see them actually just play a full complement of snaps. Stetson Bennett hasn't done that in recent weeks. He's been splitting time, not just with JT Daniels, but at times they've blown their opponents out so bad that we've gotten glimpses of Carson Beck and Brock Vandegrift. And the same thing goes for the pass catchers. They're not playing a full complement of snaps, the starters, that is. So I don't know. Against Bama, it's only a 6.5 point line, but it does favor Georgia. But I do believe Bama's going to keep it close enough where Bennett's pushed towards the over just based on raw volume.
And George Pickens returned to the lineup last weekend. He didn't run too many routes, but again, his talent, if he gets in more often this weekend, he can take the top off against us. I've seen Josh Jobe give up big plays in coverage quite often this year. That's one of my least favorite Bama pieces. And again, this game's going to be one of the better games we see all year. And I mean, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, me too. It's the best raw game on the slate. I mean, it has the biggest playoff implications. Alabama controls their own future, and they cannot get blown out of this game if they want to make the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, a close loss, I don't think they should get in. I personally, I don't believe in the 2-loss SEC team should getting over one of the 1-loss other teams. But moving forward, we got Jackson Dart, or 248.5 passing yards. You like the over in that one. It's one that I almost circled, but I'm on the other side of this game.
Yeah, I don't think it matters what side of the game you're on. This should score points, 58 point total. And to your point on being on the Cal side, they're 4.5 point favorites. If this plays to the spread, or even maybe Cal blows out USC, which is definitely in the realm of possibility, that should help Dart's volume. We're not going to see Keaton Slovis practice reports today. Keaton Slovis did return, but everything coming out of USC is that he's doing very, very little. So we would be very surprised if Slovis plays. USC, they're extremely fast, 76 plays per game, way above average there. And they pass the ball 57% of the time. Part of that, just out of necessity, they're often trailing games. They're a team that's 4-7 this year, but they also naturally are a pretty pass heavy team. So you have a lot of volume on Dart's side. He's already eclipsed 300 yards in 2 different starts this year. And he hasn't started that many games, 5, if I'm not mistaken. So right now, just looking at raw projections, he's in the 270s for me. You have nearly 25 yards of value on this. And it's similar to like a Mississippi State offense or even a Western Kentucky offense you'll see tonight. Based on raw volume, these quarterbacks can just backdoor their way over these totals, even if they're not efficient.
Yeah, and I mean, he's got to show a little something with their new coach coming in this next year with Lincoln Riley. And watching that offense, I'm sure you're going to be excited to project them week in, week out, with him as a play caller, especially their wide receiver group. It'll be super fun over there.
Yeah, I hope he plays his good players for once.
Hey, man, if Drake London comes back this year, he'll be at a 56%, you know, routes run rate. Be absolutely perfect for him to try to do that now. I'm kidding.
London saw what happened to Marvin Mims, and he is long gone.
Hey, that's true. I mean, the one thing I will say is it felt weird the way Lincoln was calling plays this year. And now that we know the USC news, it kind of makes sense to me. Just like, kind of like, all right, this year I'm there's no way they just all of a sudden this week found the deal and are like, yep, this is where I'm going.
I don't get it. I mean, you would think bad performances would hurt your stock, but Lincoln had his worst season in recent memory and he got an upgrade as far as pay.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
I don't know. It's not a meritocracy and we know this.
Yeah, that's true. But moving on to the other side of things, Chase Garbers, over 242 and a half passing yards. Again, Matt, it's 57 and a half over under. This defense is giving up 8.8 yards per passing attempt at USC. Garbers hit over the 242 mark on 60% of his games this year and has done it in 75% of Cal's wins. They are the favorite in this game, and USC has given up over 242 yards passing in three of their last four games this season. What do you have him projected for?
I actually have him a little bit under the mark, and it's because I think this is one of the rare times where Cal is going to be playing from ahead. They're another team that's 4-7, but it's a little bit of projection here, and I think you could hit the over on this just based on efficiency. But historically, Cal's been a team that's been a little more run-heavy, so I do think it is going to come down to efficiency, whether they can exploit USC's defense. And a lot of teams have this year, so it's not too worrisome for me. It's not my favorite bet, but I have no qualms with it.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the numbers of the 8.8 yards per passing attempt, and I'm like, man, this defense is awful. If he gets to the 33-34 mark, I think he covers it pretty nicely. I didn't find any of the receiver props I like because they do spread the ball a lot in this offense.
Yeah, it's extremely spread. It goes basically across four ways. So I think if you are attacking it, it's on the Garber side.
Yeah. But moving forward, if you guys haven't checked out Odd Shopper yet, you be sure to do so. It is one of the best tools that we have out there, oddshopper.com. You basically go on there. We have all the player props that have the best value. You can go by winning percentage, ROI, sort by your state. I've been able to take advantage of it in recent weeks because Florida is now allowed Hard Rock sports betting to be legal on the mobile app. I've been, you know, comparing and contrasting some of these odds throughout the markets, and it's just a wonderful tool. I know, Matt, you take advantage of it every weekend, and I think we're getting some college football coming here shortly, so I'm excited for it, and especially with bowl season coming along.
That'd be a blast. I do use it. It's extremely useful for NFL, and hopefully when we get some of the other tools, like, it's constantly being upgraded, so I assume we'll have this for more and more sports just moving forward. But love Odd Shopper, and I want to backtrack what I said a little bit. I was looking at the wrong column. I have Garbers projected for 245 yards, so towards the over for sure. I just want to clear that up. The concerns I have are the same. It's just that they try to run the ball, but again, the matchup is so good for Garbers, no issues. But I do have him projected slightly over, so want to backtrack that first.
Perfect. I appreciate that you have me with the over 3 yards cushion. That's all I need to be able to go and take it. But continue with Odd Shopper. Again, it's one of the better tools out there. It's free to use. You have all the projections there. It's fantastic. I believe one of our site developers just had a 18 round robin hit for 150K or something crazy of that standard. One of the bets that I was just like, all right, this is cool. This is one of the guy who's helping build the tools is taking advantage and winning some serious money off of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I saw that too. I'm going to try to put one of those through myself.
Now you just got to do it for college football. I don't know how you don't hit it every single weekend with all the work that you put into it. You should be able to know this better than anybody out here.
It's hard in an illegal state. Not everything's available to me, which is why we like Prize Picks so much, honestly, because I can't make those parlays living in Wisconsin.
Same. I mean, the Hard Rock doesn't have player props for college football, so Prize Picks is where I can take advantage of that. But moving forward with another pick that we like, Jared Wayne, over 46 and a half receiving yards. One of the better receivers for Pittsburgh, but definitely the second option to Jordan Addison. I see that you like the over here.
Yeah, no question he's the second receiver. And I don't think that matters with the prop so low, 46 and a half receiving yards. On the back end of the projections, just for your reference, like, I have Addison well over 100 yards in this game, and Jared Wayne still projects well above 46 and a half. We're not going to see Taysier here, Mack, unless something crazy happens. He hasn't even traveled with the team recently, so I would be just downright shocked if Taysier here, Mack plays. Jared Wayne is on the field for nearly every single snap. He's not squeezed when they go into 12 personnel. The guy who comes off is Shockey Jacques-Louis. So you have a very consistent role. And then you have a Pitt team running one of the fastest offenses in the country, throwing the ball 54% of the time. Wake Forest on the other side runs one of the fastest offenses in the country. There's just going to be volume across the board here. And outside of their most recent game, which Pitt didn't take all that seriously, Wayne had at least 7 targets in 3 straight. He averaged 8 over that span. A very good role in this offense. I'm pretty comfortable with this right here.
Yeah, it's one of the, I almost went to the Pittsburgh side of things, but again, I went to the other side, and this one I like to pair together. Sam Hartman over the 305 passing yard mark and Ja'Cory Robinson over 73.5 receiving yards. This game has a 71-point over-under, and Wake Forest is 3.5-point underdogs. Pitt is allowing 7.6 yards per passing attempt this season, but a lot of that's masked by some of the bad quarterback play that they have in the ACC with Syracuse and Clemson and a few of these other teams. Against Miami and Virginia, they allowed over 400 yards passing to those quarterbacks. That's the type of passing offense we're seeing from Wake Forest. Hartman averages 309 passing yards a game on the season, so his averages are above this player prop, and he has hit this over in 6 of the last 8 games. With Ja'Cory Roberson, he's averaging 2.88 yards per route run, one of the highest in the country, and A.T. Perry is also a clear-cut great receiver for Wake Forest, but his prop is in the 90s while Ja'Cory is in the 70s, and they're both pretty even across the board. And then you look at Pitt on the season. Sky Moore and Corey Crumbs had over 120 yards in the same game. Rambo, Restrepo, Smith had over 80 yards. Wicks and Thompson for Virginia had over 120. Wow, Woods and Henry had over 75. Josh Downs and Antonio Green had over 90. This team has a ton of bad games against this receiver position, and it's just two props that I couldn't believe that were so low considering the matchup itself.
I have Hartman right around his projection. Not a ton of value there, but there is a little bit of juice to be squeezed towards the over. You laid it out nicely, but I think the bigger edge is with Roberson. He's not priced correctly, in my opinion. These two receivers have essentially the same target share, and this also doesn't account for Roberson missing some time this year. And he hasn't missed games, but in their second most recent contest, he only had 2 targets. It's because he left the game early. He played about 25% of the snaps. So it's a monster game as far as targets goes for Taylor Morin. And that kind of tilts the edge over the course of the year in terms of targets and receiving yards. So while they're priced with near 20 yards apart in terms of their prize pick numbers, they for me are projected nearly at the same yardage mark. I have A.T. Perry at 82 and Ja'Cory Roberson at 81.5. So there's clear value towards the over for Roberson. Sam Hartman, I do think there is a little bit of juice to be squeezed towards the over, but he's already above 300 yards, which is pretty close to efficient.
Yeah, I mean, again, 300 passing yards, projecting a guy in the 340s probably doesn't happen too often for you, except for maybe this Western Kentucky UTSA game later in the day. But most of the time, 300 yards as a baseline projection is something that I'm willing to go and take the over off of.
Right. It's good. Like the reason it doesn't go way, way over, and you mentioned some of the struggles for Pitt's defense against opposing passing attacks. Wake Forest has a really easy strength of schedule too, like easier than Pitt's. So a lot of what Hartman's been able to do has been against some of these cupcakes in the ACC, which elevates your yards per attempt, of course. But when you normalize everything here and adjust for strength of schedule, Hartman still slightly projects towards the over. And there are outs, like you mentioned, maybe they took their foot off the gas against some of these really weak ACC opponents, and he should be projected a little more. So if you're looking for the small edges, I do think they're towards the over.
Yeah, appreciate that. But moving on to one of the last ones we have laid on the board with Jeremy Singleton, under 61.5 receiving yards. I was surprised to see this actually being that high.
his prop being that high?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Considering he was not the wide receiver too for most of the year. It was Keyshawn Carter who's been injured. And I don't think we'll see Keyshawn Carter. But even looking at Jeremy Singleton in his new role as the wide receiver too, this is going to be a really volatile spot. He has never caught more than 5 balls in a single game this year. Never seen more than 7 targets. So he doesn't have the best role to begin with. And then you're talking about a guy who's in perhaps one of the toughest matchups for a G5 opponent, facing Cincinnati, who has one of the best pass rushes and pass coverage units in college football. Cincinnati has actually shown leaks on defense, but it's essentially all come in the run game. So I'm a little worried about Singleton from a volume perspective and efficiency perspective, because the big games he's had have come on extremely low volume, big plays. And then you run into this just buzzsaw of a matchup as a 10-point underdog. So it's tough for me to see Singleton over 60 yards. He's in the 40s for me.
Yeah, agreed. I looked at Houston. I almost started to get to that side, but, you know, not a fan of unders. But let's get into some of these extra picks here. You alluded earlier to Abram Smith over 72.5 rushing yards. Do you want to continue talking about that one?
He was pretty efficient against Oklahoma State the first time, but now the major difference is he's handling a vastly larger workload. He's seen at least 18 carries in three straight games, and we know this Baylor team wants to run the ball. So even before they get into like negative game script, which is what the spread projects, I think Abrams would have a pretty good role. So not too much else to add. It's a volume play.
Agreed. Usually his props in like the mid 80s to 90 yard props. So it's definitely coming in lower than it usually is. But moving forward to the Cincinnati offense, you got Desmond Ridder under 279.5 passing yards. Again, I agree with you here. I think he's going to be a little bit more run heavy in this championship game.
I can't believe it's this high. The strength of Houston's defense is against the pass, I think, but Houston's defense has been good overall. So I think these edges are marginal, but Ritter's not really the best passer to begin with. He's efficient, but he struggles with volume. The offense is really slow. They tend to favor the run. Jerome Ford is healthy now. They're 10-point favorites. So there's a lot of little edges, I think, that point towards the under for Ridder. He's only averaging 249 per game. So are we really going to project him 30 yards above his season average in a matchup that only has a 53-point total against a strong Houston defense? I'm a little suspect of that line. And conversely, Ford is pretty affordable here. He's had 19 carries in back-to-back games since returning from the injury. And if this plays to the spread, you should see a pretty good workload for Ford, especially if the game stays competitive here. So I think you can use these two together in your parlays, like under 279.5 passing for Ridder, over 84.5 rushing for Ford could make a lot of sense together.
Agreed. I actually like that a lot. I might be playing with that as we get off the show here, but there's a few more props you have in the extra pick pile. Is there anyone that you want to get to?
I'll highlight just a couple quickly. I know we're running out of time here, but Keegan Johnson for Iowa. He's priced at 29.5 receiving yards. This is a guy who's not expected to have a lot of efficiency here. They're playing Michigan, who's got a great defense, good pass rush. But Keegan Johnson's just played a much larger role compared to what we saw in the beginning of the year. He's averaging 6.8 targets per game over Iowa's last four contests. And for reference, the next most targeted player is Sam Laporta, their tight end, at 3.5. So he's doubling up Laporta in terms of volume in their last four games. Again, if he secures four catches and he has minimal efficiency, he should be going over this number. So I like Keegan Johnson for Iowa over 29.5. I think you can also look to under Peter LeBlanc for Louisiana Lafayette. They're 3-point underdogs to App State, a very good defense. And we know Louisiana Lafayette wants to be very run heavy. They pass the ball just 42.5% of the time. But LeBlanc has seen a major role decrease of late. Only three targets in their last game actually was below 30% of the routes run, which is concerning for a team that is going to rotate seven or eight receivers onto the field. So if this guy is not even going to play 50% of the snaps, I don't know how we can have him at 36.5 receiving yards. So under for Peter LeBlanc. And then last one we can highlight, I think, unless you want to get into any more, is Greg Bell for San Diego State, over 72.5 rushing yards. The volume hasn't been quite as good for Bell this year. He's averaging just 17.8 touches per game. He's been below 20 carries in each of the last three. But with that said, he's been at least 15. And this is a great matchup for San Diego State on the ground. Utah State allowing 173 rushing yards per game. San Diego State is a 6-point favorite. And they do have a little bit of quarterback issues. They've been moving back and forth between Lucas Johnson and Jordan Brookshire. So if they can establish the run, which we know they want to do, this could be a voluminous game for Bell, not to mention the matchup's good.
Agreed. I didn't touch on some of these. Some of these I haven't done the research for, but again, it's always nice to get some extra picks in here so you can mix and match all of the picks that we have for you today. And if you're a new user to Prize Picks, be sure to use code AWESOMO. We'll get you match up to $100 in your first deposit. Again, Prize Picks is an app where you can pick five players, you can pick three players, two players, just as long as they're two different teams. That's all they care about. And again, you can win up to 10x on your money. If you haven't already, subscribe to the channel, like the show. We have a ton of great content for you guys. We had NBA Deeper Dive at 5 p.m. with Adam and Lofty. And then 8 or 6 p.m. we got Eric and Greg in the Live Before Lock. about to have some bowl season. Prize Pick Show in the future will be to be determined here, but we will have some content for you guys. Appreciate everybody throughout the season. Hope somebody made some big money.